Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. They shared the feedback they'd gotten since the presidential debate, and two dozen Democratic governors say they're standing with President Biden.
The president has always had our backs. We're going to have his back as well.
Maryland's Wes Moore says they're focused on moving forward and winning in November. Hurricane Beryl's lost a bit of her punch, winds dropping to 130 miles per hour, but that is still Category 4 strength. Traveling over the long holiday weekend, you won't be alone.
Flight was early enough. I thought it wouldn't be that busy, but it turned out to be quite busy, I guess because it's the holidays, the day before 4th of July.
The TSA expects to screen a record 3 million people on Sunday. One person is missing after an explosion at a defense weapons plant in Camden, Arkansas. Two others are injured. Officials say a lightning strike started the South Fork Fire, the larger of the two wildfires now burning in the Ruidoso, New Mexico area. This is ABC News. The L.A. City Council's agreed to pay more than $21 million to settle claims of a botched detonation of illegal fireworks 3 years ago. Police detonated the seized fireworks in a containment vessel, which exploded in a residential area, sending debris everywhere. Seven residents, 10 officers were hurt. Dozens of buildings were damaged and 80 people were displaced. Well, it isn't just humans that can perform life-saving procedures.
The ants go marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah.
You always knew the ants could march, but did you know they can also perform surgery on themselves? Research in the journal Current Biology says when one ant has a leg injury, other ants will either clean the wound or, if they can't clean it well enough, amputate the ant leg altogether. The only other species that does that is humans. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Shohei Ohtani won't participate in the Home Run Derby on July 15th, citing rehab from an injured elbow. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram he knows exactly what he means when Donald Trump remarked about what he called black jobs during last week's debate.
He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it.
You can hear Earl's entire interview with President Biden Thursday morning between 8 and 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. The long holiday weekend starts with some long car rides for many in Wisconsin. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
AAA expects we'll set a new record here with 1.6 million people traveling in the Badger State. Remember to check 511. Construction projects are paused across the state, but there may still be lane closures in work zones.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The crew beat the Rockies.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers were down 3-2 heading into the ninth and clawed their way back to a 4-3 victory over the Rockies, their 26th comeback win of the season. Willie Adames with a clutch sacrifice fly.
We are competitors over here. We're always going to be fighting, and we're never going to give up, you know. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to do that until the end. And, you know, I'm proud of the boys.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, that last inning, I mean, we were fortunate too, but, you know, give our guys credit. You know, we left some
some guys on base. We didn't really get the big hit. That's baseball, man. That's how you play offense.
NBA, the Bucks introduced their two new players, guard A.J. Johnson, forward Tyler Smith, picked up in the draft. Head coach Doc Rivers asked, what advice does he have for a couple of 19-year-old kids who have to compete with veterans like Giannis and Damian Lillard?
To be competitive. Don't be awestruck. Look everybody in the eye, respect all veterans, and then try to kick their butt.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. And for tomorrow, clouds return, a few showers and storms popping up, and highs in the mid-70s. Scattered storms tomorrow night, and more rain chances on Friday, highs near 70. And still some rain chances this weekend. Currently at 75 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
We're back next Monday with fresh shows. In the meantime, have a happy and safe Independence weekend and remember the true blessings of our liberty.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting the cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Well, we have a jam-packed show here, but Haley, I want to start out with Leonard Peltier. They denied parole to a survivor of genocidal Indian boarding schools as he struggles to survive this unjust incarceration. That's from Nick Tilson, Indian Collective President and CEO. What else do we have? This is just, you know, I listened to the show prior to us, and he said that Leonard was a convicted murderer, and that's not true. He was convicted of aiding and abetting in the murder of these two FBI agents. And I always say, well, the aiding and abetting of the murder of George Floyd, those police officers got 2 years, not 47 years.
That's a really good point. And yeah, no, Leonard is not in prison for the murder. He is in there for aiding and abetting. And right. We've had Rachel Dion Thunder from Indigenous Protectors Movement in the Twin Cities here on in the past to discuss kind of like why Leonard's in there in the first place. And when the people who were going to be charged or they were trying to charge with murder didn't end up serving anything. So what was he exactly aiding and abetting? We're unsure. But this is, you know, kind of a something from the FBI or the federal government to kind of show us that, hey, this is what happens when you try to, you know, stand up against us. And this is kind of like a political prisoner pawn situation. And it's really unfortunate that, Elder Leonard is unfortunately still being denied again and again and again.
Well, we thought Clinton was going to pardon him. That's how long this charade with the FBI and the government over Native Americans and especially Leonard Peltier has been going on. Indian Collective also said they will continue demand freedom for Leonard Peltier as his attorneys file for an appeal on this decision and push for the grant of clemency from President Biden. And that's one thing we really have to talk about. And here's a interesting thing for our listeners out there. If you want to take action and support free Leonard Peltier campaign, it's hashtag free Leonard Peltier. And also text free Leonard Peltier now to 50302 to receive latest updates and join the movement to free Leonard Peltier. So again, this is an upsetting day. I'm not shocked. I'm really saddened that we still have to deal with this oppression through the federal government and all the governments around here. But being a third or fourth class citizen that Native Americans seem to be falling under all the time, and it's a tragic thing. And I don't know, you know, it started, I think, with Wendy years ago saying free Leonard Peltier at the end of the show, and Haley, I know you do it now, and we really mean it. It's not just words. And pretty disgusted.
This whole kind of week, I'm just really disappointed with how things have turned out. But this is coming from Kinship News on Instagram. The U.S. Parole Commission announced that Leonard Peltier won't have another hearing until June of 2026. At the time of his next hearing, Peltier will be 81 years old.
Yeah, definitely. We're saddened here at Native Roots Radio, and I guess that's all we can really talk about now. We got our guest on here, our friend Ruth Buffalo. And Ruth, welcome to Native Roots Radio. And I know I just want to say, I want to introduce you. This is Ruth Buffalo, president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minnesota. Welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Dosha. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we were talking some sad news. I don't know if you'd want to comment or not. With Leonard Peltier being denied parole again, and so it's a sad day here on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, I agree for sure. It's a sad day. Yeah, I just felt like I had to leave work early to get out of the office. Pretty heavy feeling, pretty disappointing, and just super disappointing in so many different ways. You know, being a North Dakotan, or what is considered present day North Dakota, you know, the DNC, we put forward a resolution back in September of 2022 that passed the full DNC body, urging Biden, President Biden, to grant Leonard clemency. And then it's just, you know, disappointing to hear that a Democrat state, former state legislator who is a Democrat, who is a Biden appointed U.S. attorney representing North Dakota, you know, made it a point to go down to Florida and provide opposition testimony against Leonard's parole. And so just disappointed on so many levels. And where's the justice, you know? You know, it's just disappointing, but it is testament to what many people face and continue to face, especially in North Dakota.
Yeah, and good words there. And it's perplexing. This is 2024. And again, we talked about how he's not in there for murder. It's, and you know, I talked about the George Floyd's people that are in there for the same charge and are only in for 2 years, and aiding and abetting, and he's in there 47 years now for the same thing. It's just ridiculous and heartbreaking.
On so many different levels, I think the facts are that, you know, Indians, American Indians, the first peoples of these lands, we continue to be targeted in every level of governments. Incarceration rates show that it's a fact, and that even during the pandemic, we had, you know, tribal elders who were denied compassionate release, you know, and yet others were not, you know. And so it's just it's unfortunately another example of the ongoing challenges that tribal communities face. And so it's, I think Leonard, one of our visits would say, like, the Indian wars never ended. Right. And this is facts. This is exactly it. It's the wars have not never ended against our people.
Yeah, and it's come in so many different forms, from boarding school to you know, smallpox blankets. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And you know, we still have that subtle thing going on with sports teams still that have Chiefs and Blackhawk names that really are demeaning and put us down. And it's there for our children. It's there for us to see. And it's a subtle reminder that we're not included, you know. So today's just an example of that.
Mm-hmm. I agree. This is more of like a blatant, loud, clear message, sending a message to all of us that, you know, we must be good little Indians and stay in line. And how dare we try to stand up for our rights? And, you know, with boarding schools, relocation, forced sterilization, and many other ways, you know, that continue today through lateral violence, you know, it's all there by design and continues to contribute to genocide.
We're here with Ruth Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis. And we'll be right back after this short break.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Hi, this is Angela Warner for Warner Stelly and Appliance. Do you have a dishwasher that doesn't really wash your dishes so you have to? Or a refrigerator that kind of keeps your milk cold and you've just been waiting for that right time to buy? Well, right now, Warner Stelly has the lowest prices of the season with exclusive savings like free dishwasher installation on brands like Bosch and an instant bonus for each additional appliance you buy for up to $1,000. See what I mean at WarnerStellion.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities. And, you know, I can't help but be blue today, but there's things happening. Two, we have to take three steps forward, sometimes to take two back. And I know your work with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center is something to be marveled at. And let's talk a little bit about that today.
Sure. Thank you. Yes, the staff at MIWRC are amazing and they continue to do amazing work. We have the traditional healing, traditional birthing program that is hosting a sweat lodge tonight in St. Paul. So we have some new staff on board, and it's really beautiful and amazing to have great staff, you know, that are here to assist the community. We just had a staff monthly potluck and staff lunch today, monthly all staff meeting and a potluck. So lots of good things happening, continuing to plug away at fundraising. And I think with the pandemic and the ARPA funds dissolving, it has impacted a lot of organizations nationwide. And so we're trying to meet that, you know, fulfill that funding deficit. And so, you know, calling on all hands on deck, celebrities, tribal casinos, tribal nations, community partners and foundations to help us make sure that we can continue doing the good work and serving the community, because we're approaching our 40th year anniversary, September 16th. So please save the date, mark your calendars. We have some amazing lineup of events and activities that day, and looking forward to that. And yeah, we're also starting a community monthly meetings. We had our first one last week. Last Tuesday, it was amazing. And so it's just a time to give updates to the community and just let the public know that our doors are open and they'll continue to stay open.
You know, I always want to bring up too how to get a hold of you. And I'm wondering too, I was thinking of this too, Ruth, is that do you do paid speaking engagements too for Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? Is there a way to get a hold of you for that too?
Myself? Yeah. Yep. For sure. Yep. Definitely. Yep. Open to that. And yeah, for sure.
And then how do we get a hold of you through Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center?
Yep. You can email MIWRC socials at MIWRC.org.
Awesome. I always want to remember to do that, because that's a question people ask when they say, well, you didn't give the address or the phone number or the website. And I'm going, well, I'm still, this is my first year, 8 years in a row of being a radio host.
Yeah.
Thank you, Haley.
Yep. I'm at rbuffalo@miwrc.org as well.
Cool. And, you know, you have job openings too and things like that to be able to get on there and look it up. It's exciting that you're having a sweat here in St. Paul too, down the street from me. So I'm excited that that's happening here. And it's just good medicine that you guys are doing and all the things you've been doing for 40 years.
Yes, the organization has been doing amazing work, like you mentioned, for 40 years, and just hoping to continue to, you know, nourish and support the staff and the organization so that it continues to be open seven generations ahead. We just now brought on 5 new board members as well. So the board is expanding. We're, you know, hiring new staff. We'll have 2 new drop-in center staff that will be starting on Monday, July 8th. And for those that aren't familiar, the drop-in center came into fruition after many community conversations that believed there was an unmet need in the community for women who are unhoused and are trans relatives, but we don't turn anybody away. And so you can stop by the drop-in center. I don't want to butcher the name of it, mispronounce it, but it's the drop-in center led by Don LaRock. And many of our unhoused women go there for a safe place, a warm shower and a warm meal, and get connected to resources. And so I had the opportunity to spend some time down there, help out. And so we're working on all of us getting cross-trained. But it's heavy heart work, you know, to not. So it's just, you know, it's a good, healthy, nourishing, nurturing space. And it's hard not to walk away feeling like you need to do more, or you feel just feel for our relatives who are out on the streets. You know, many come there to get a shower, get resources, and just a safe space to be, and a safe space to sleep for a couple hours, because many of the women that come in through those doors have been up all night, you know, without, you know, just for their own safety. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the phone calls that we filled at MIWRC are focused on housing needs. We have a housing manager who helps people with funds from Hennepin County to prevent evictions. But we are working on, did I freeze?
Yeah, just for a second. You're good.
Okay. So we're working on filling or, meeting these, some of the gaps we have in our system that include trying to help people find housing because that's an area. So we've been applying for a lot of funding, a lot of grants. And so we're hoping to expand our housing program because there's an overlap in every single one of our programs and departments. And at the heart of it is addressing the social determinants of health, you know, the basic needs, and housing is front and center as one of the top needs for all of our relatives out there. So housing, just really want to stress the importance of housing and public safety. It's interesting because like the response time down where MIWRC is located is comparable to like res-like response times, which is very slow, you know, which is kind of striking to see in a very big metro urban area, you know. So there's some grave concerns, and we're all trying to help and, you know, amplify and uplift the existing structures and those who have been doing the work for decades, you know, but definitely a need for more resources for sure.
Definitely. Is there a place where someone can volunteer to come down and volunteer? Because that sounds like a heavy lift for anyone to help our unsheltered relatives. That's it's crazy that this is 2024 and we're still dealing with this.
Yes, for sure. We definitely welcome volunteers. You know, you'll have to fill out paperwork, you know, and kind of go through a screening process, you know, but for sure we welcome volunteers. And we're also, you know, cognizant of not wanting to re-traumatize or re-trigger or remind our client relatives of past traumas too. So we take that into consideration and handle everything that we do with great care. So our staff are super amazing. We're thankful to have new staff on board in the traditional healing program or department to help foster a really loving, caring, nurturing healing space at MIWRC.
Yeah, it's just really good medicine, and people out there, support any way you can to this great organization. Every time I talk to you, Ruth, I hear more of the things that you guys do for the community, which is just amazing. And but we need help with funds, and we need help with volunteers. And please, yes. If you feel like helping and volunteering, please reach out. And if you can't get a hold of them, get a hold of us, and we can get a hold of Ruth or somebody at Minnesota Indian Resource Center, Women's Resource Center, and Haley will do that. Ho-wa.
I would love to.
Right on. Yeah, so what we got a minute or so left, Ruth. Any last words here? Again, it's a sad day, but also, like I say, we have to take two steps back, we take three forward, and the three forward is talking to you and about your great organization and what it does for our community.
Yes, definitely. I think just it's important. You know, my heart is with Leonard's family, his loved ones, because it's, you know, they are directly impacted by this decision. And so it's important to hold Leonard and his family, his loved ones in prayer, and to continue, you know, sending them good thoughts and good vibes and prayers, and to, you know, be good to one another and continue to take action and take courage from where you're at. And we all need to stay united and stay together and continue pushing forward. And unfortunately, yes, I think Indian people are some of the most resilient people on this earth. And this is why. Here's another example to why. You know, you get the wind knocked out of you. You know, you get knocked down. You know, you get knocked down, but you didn't.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
ABC
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. They shared the feedback they'd gotten since the presidential debate, and two dozen Democratic governors say they're standing with President Biden.
The president has always had our backs. We're going to have his back as well.
Maryland's Wes Moore says they're focused on moving forward and winning in November. Hurricane Beryl's lost a bit of her punch, winds dropping to 130 miles per hour, but that is still Category 4 strength. Traveling over the long holiday weekend, you won't be alone.
Flight was early enough. I thought it wouldn't be that busy, but it turned out to be quite busy, I guess because it's the holidays, the day before 4th of July.
The TSA expects to screen a record 3 million people on Sunday. One person is missing after an explosion at a defense weapons plant in Camden, Arkansas. Two others are injured. Officials say a lightning strike started the South Fork Fire, the larger of the two wildfires now burning in the Ruidoso, New Mexico area. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Calls are ramping up again for money to clean up PFAS pollution in Wisconsin. Lisa Hale reports.
Governor Tony Evers is turning up the pressure on state lawmakers to release $125 million for PFAS pollution cleanup.
It could be released today if the Joint Finance Committee wanted to do that. For some reason, they seem that it, in their world, it is more important for them to make no one accountable for this.
Lawmakers are countering that the governor vetoed their plan to spend that money. I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin is getting $49 million to boost its biohealth industry. Wisconsin aims to create 30,000 biotech jobs and become a global leader in personalized medicine in the next decade. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-50s. And for tomorrow, clouds return, a few showers and storms popping up, and highs in the mid-70s. Scattered storms tomorrow night, and more rain chances on Friday, highs near 70. And still some rain chances this weekend. Right now, it's 73.
Matt and Air on Air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Hope you all are having a fantastic July 4th holiday weekend. Don't worry, I'll be back at it come Monday. You won't want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Anine, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with our other friend, Heather Keeler, state representative. And did you catch that, state representative? I didn't say state senator or senator or governor.
Or any of it. I appreciate it.
Yeah. I always try to give you more credit and what you deserve a lot. And we really love having you on Native Roots Radio. You have a lot of good things to say, and you're very articulate. And I really appreciate you spending time with us, Heather.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You talk about like how I speak, and I was in a conversation with one of my friends the other day, and we were talking about like, especially kind of powwow season when we go back home, you know, there's always that like home slang that comes back out, you know, when we go back home. And then you realize how much we do have to shift how we show up in the world to be able to walk, you know, in the outside world or the off reservation world or the urban Indian community. And it's kind of sad, you know, that I can't really show up the way that I do with my relatives and in my community and probably in my most authentic way. But we have to pull ourselves together because we know that we have to work 4 to 7 times harder than anybody else. And that starts with being able to speak in a way mm-hmm. that sounds like I'm educated, like I know what I'm talking about, because often just being native in these spaces isn't enough. Or if we sound too native, that's instantly connected to being uneducated. Which I don't think is true. But yeah, so one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad that you kind of said that, was this idea of how education plays such a role in our life and how it forces us to kind of shift who we are to show up in the bigger world.
Well, really, really good point too. And it's fun. I was going to ask you before you said that to talk a little native, like, you know, point over there with your lips and, you know, all those things that we do, you know, it's really good point. And, it's something that it definitely is there, and it's fun too, because I don't know, is it a difference between the urban and the res Indian too? Because I know, the closer I get to my tribe land, the more resi I get.
Yeah, I mean, I think there probably is. I don't know. I think that's not kind of the, I mean, yes, I'm sure it's all different. It's how we talk with our families and our community. It's just crazy how different we do have to get out in the world. But I wish our education systems allowed us a little bit more space to be authentic. And that's why, like, I really love our tribal colleges and what we're doing in Minnesota around higher education with our tribal colleges, especially Red Lake. I know we saw you guys at the opening that they had in Minneapolis. But hopefully that starts to allow us to be more authentic in our education spaces in general.
Yeah. And I just have to give you a lot of credit too, for what's happening in educational wise. And here with Red Lake specifically, they had nothing, the leaders of Red Lake had nothing but great things to say about you and the support that you have. And it's a double-edged sword, because we need to be in these places, but these places are hard, and how authentic we have to be, like even just in speaking.
Yeah. I mean, the work is really, really hard. I think being a politician in general or an elected official, as you know, Robert, we talk a lot about the extra stresses it puts on us. But when we're standing up for one of the most vulnerable, most beautiful communities as our indigenous population, it just is so much harder. And we don't have the longevity in us. You know, I see some of my colleagues that were retired after 20, 28 years of service. Like, there's no way my mental health, my emotional, my physical, you know, self can do that, this job for that long. And so representation absolutely matters, but that means we need to have a pretty deep bench. And that means, you know, we need people now starting to think about how they can step into these spaces of advocacy, because we're seeing in Minnesota, Jamie Becker Finn is retiring. And those are big shoes, you know, to try to fill. And we are just not sure we're able to do that quick enough as we're in the momentum to really build a robust tribal relations community here in Minnesota. And so if you're listening to this, I kind of always challenge everybody to push outside your own comfort zone, because generations need us at these tables. It's not just for the offense and the fancy bills we get to carry. It's really about the defense.
and what we have to do to protect our sovereignty, what we have to do to really protect who we are as a people, as a whole. And so I hope at some point, in some place, in some area of Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever our listeners are, you see value in maybe stepping up and having some courage to run in these spaces that we absolutely need you to be in.
Well, that goes back to, you know, it was, we talked about this before when we were doing the COVID stuff on Sundays, the Sunday symposium, and all these great leaders across the country were coming on, and there was rumblings about a person named Heather Keeler who was thinking of becoming a school board person, and everyone was excited when they heard that you became run for state representative. I remember that, and we got you on, I think, the next week. But how exciting for us, and what was that process, and how can we duplicate a process like that where we can get more young natives in the political realm?
First of all, I appreciate the reference to me being young. I'm going to hang on to that because some days, you know, I'm not feeling that young. But and I also maybe wouldn't use like my example as the footprint, because it was by total accident. Honestly, like I was just an advocate in my community. I was an Indian education liaison, trying to go to school to do something bigger in the world. I knew that I had to be at tables, and I had to have educational degrees to do that. And so I was going to school for my master's in educational leadership and did my practicum on barriers to academic success outside of academic rigor. And that's where I started to listen to my community and find out that lack of representation, homelessness, and food insecurities were a major issue in Moorhead, and went in and thought, I'm going to run for school board. And I tell this story a lot, and it's such a crazy, silly story, but there was just some white guys that were going to run for the House. And to be honest, you know, I'd never been invited to the Capitol. I really had not known what the difference between Congress and my state rep and what city council did. Like, nobody really talked to us about what those roles were. But I knew that my community had said to me months earlier that representation mattered. And I sort of figured, you know, I have a high regard and appreciation for white straight guys. I just think we have enough of them in the political landscape that I thought I should maybe at least run so my community had an option to vote for a woman or an Indigenous person. And then I won, and the reality kind of kicked in. And, you know, it was hard. It's hard. It was hard to navigate. But I feel like after 4 years, I know where the bathrooms are. I know how to navigate my mental health a little bit better. I know how to travel back and forth and take care of myself. And so I feel like I'm setting myself up to be a little bit better. So the Heather I was on those symposiums, I've learned a lot, and actually love to mentor incoming individuals who are considering running, because I think we need to have honest conversations about this work rather than glorifying the power piece of it. But really the presence to be able to show up for our people and our community is the beauty in serving, I think.
I'm going to say this out loud, and I've been thinking about this as we're talking about it. Our friends at Native American Community Development Institute, who really support a lot of organizations through grants and things like that, needs to probably reach out to Two Feathers and and really partner in that mentorship and get more Native and women elected. And I know that's part of your deal, and also them, and we can get you two groups together and really do some damage here. And we still have time. We have like 4 months before the next election.
Yeah. You know, I think honestly, some of it even steps back to like encouraging people to expand their education in where they are, because, you know, you have to learn and really be able to understand the solutions to the issues that we're advocating for. You know, it's one thing to yell around about something we don't like. It's another thing to deeply educate yourself about the economics around it, the impacts on it, the long-term impacts on generations. And so I think when we go to school, it expands our brain to think a little bit differently, and it allows us the opportunities to end up in spaces that maybe we wouldn't have been in if we stayed in our circles. And so I think advocacy and standing up in spaces like this also means we need to explore the opportunities of higher education. And I know money is always an issue with that. I know I'm sending my son off to college But there's tons of scholarships and opportunities for Native students to go to school. And I just want to also, you know, encourage that we look at that and how we can expand our intellectual knowledge to enter into these spaces with really brilliant solution-focused ideas.
And it's a thing that's been happening slowly over the years. You know, 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't have as many educated doctors, lawyers, and mm-hmm. teachers like we do now. But it's still slow moving. And I agree 100% because I've come from the education realm too. And it's so important to have students, one, see somebody like you or Lieutenant Governor that look like them in leadership roles. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, like, I love when we have tribal schools or tribal programs come to the Capitol to spend time with us. And I will always do my best to clear my calendar to spend time with youth, but particularly Native youth, because I talk a lot about what the invisibility of us does to us in spaces. It subliminally tells us we don't belong. So, you know, I never saw teachers who looked like me, which told mm-hmm. me I could probably never be a teacher or a doctor or different things. And so being able to tell my story with our kids really allows them the ability to see us in these spaces. And I remember there was this little girl, she was like 8 years old, and was so excited to be there. And she was like crying in the corner. And I went over and I talked to her and she's like, "You look just like all my aunties, but you're doing this really cool job." And I was like, that's exactly what this is all about, right? I've always said I wanted to do the work that the little version of me probably needed in the world. And so those moments, though they're kind of far and few, they're so powerful and kind of the reminder that though the work is really hard, we're doing it for the right reasons.
Well, that story gives me a big smile. And that's part of having the show and listening to people and leaders like you that have stories like that, that really, I'm sure, hit the listening audience too, because I'm a little teary-eyed after hearing that, because that makes all these things almost worthwhile. I know you have a lot of separation from your children when you're in the Twin Cities and those things that are hard, you know, not just the work part, but the emotional part.
Mm-hmm. I say often, I think the people who get overlooked the most as I get thanked for my work is actually the sacrifice of my kids, that they, you know, though we talk about it and they think it's really cool, you know, they miss out on mom time for me to go do this work for other generations. And so I just want to be better at acknowledging my kids. Gosh, now you're gonna make me emotional, Robert, make me talk about my kids, but also acknowledging the sacrifice that they do for the work of Minnesota.
Well, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, who I believe is probably a really cool mom. And so we'll be back and talk a little bit more with the state representative. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and Energy Star's number one most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top quality products. Until now, 952 Windows thrived on referrals and the loyalty of satisfied window light customers. They continue to support these customers by providing warranty parts for the 80,000 windows sold since 1994. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952 Windows or visit 952windows.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
Imagine over 7,000 voices from around the globe coming together in harmony in Minneapolis. This summer, Gala Choruses Festival 2024 comes to Minnesota. It's the world's largest LGBTQ plus singing event. From July 10th through 14th, Minneapolis will be transformed into a vibrant city of song. Join 122 choruses from places as far as China, Estonia, Finland, Ukraine, and Taiwan for five unforgettable days of wall-to-wall concerts, workshops, and social events at world-class venues like Orchestra Hall, the Minneapolis Convention Center, and Central Lutheran Church. And don't miss Gala's first-ever Trans Fusion Cabaret on Friday, July 12th. This show will uplift trans, non-binary, and intersex voices and feature Gala Festival singers performing alongside local singers. Feel the energy in person by purchasing tickets at galachoruses.org or stream every performance live and on demand at galachoruses.org. Celebrate love, diversity, and the power of music at Gala Choruses Festival 2024, where every voice matters, July 10th through 14th in downtown Minneapolis.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Howl! Did you hear me? I joined.
Yes, I could see it too on the other screen. I saw your neck went up like a wolf. I saw that.
I had to play the whole part. I had to make it sound the best that I could.
Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler. And Haley, I want to ask you something now. You've been with Native Roots Radio for well over a year. You know, what do you think of Heather? I mean, we always get excited when Heather okays a spot on Native Roots Radio because we know it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. I just got to say, the first time that I met Heather Keeler was at probably the MMIR something event at the Capitol. And that was the first time I heard her speak, as well as State Senator Mary Kunish and Jamie Becker Finn, and all of our Native voices were there at the Capitol. And I mean, Heather's speech, I remember, just really stood out to me, and it really pulled on those heartstrings. So just kind of relating stories and all of that, and then coming, you know, getting to know Heather over the year. And, you know, she's just real and she's authentic and she's honest. And I think those are more of the type of people that we need in spaces that represent us and speak for us with, you know, other stuff going on. And I'm just really, really thankful to know her, and representation does matter, because I never considered running for office or even thought about it. And, you know, I was like, that's never something I would do, never in a million years. And then, you know, I see Heather do it, and it's really inspiring. And mm-hmm. It just, you know, makes me feel like someone like me can do that too.
You know, one of the things I like about Heather, too, is that we're acting like Heather's not here right now. We're talking.
Oh, my gosh. This is like the hardest thing to sit through. It's like I'm getting
compliments. Well, you are what you are, who you are. You know what I mean? There's no fakeness to you. And that comes across. And I just want to say this. We got a few more minutes and then I'll hand it back over to you, Heather. I just want to say this. There was one time at the Capitol, and I want to say it was 2 or 3 years ago, that you said something during an MMIW speech, and it hit me, and I've been trying to quote you for these years about you telling your kids that you would never leave them and what that meant. And it had to sink into me to go, oh, well, that means, you know, people disappear and then the police say, well, they're probably out, you know, with their boyfriend or drinking, or they're leaving, they're sick of what's going on there, and they make all these excuses that aren't real.
Mm-hmm. You know, media plays such a big role in the narrative of who we are as Indigenous people. It's one of the reasons why I love Native Roots Radio so much, is because we get to speak our truth. We get to talk about really who we are and how we live in this world. But yeah, it was very clear to me as I started to travel, because again, I travel 4 hours one way to go to work. And I had worked in the MMIW, MMIR space prior to being elected, and had seen on a very regular basis how the media spins the story very differently. And I often go back, and when I'm in my Two Feathers world and I'm talking about it, I talk about Wyoming, because that's actually where my mom's from. We're from the Wind River Reservation. We're Eastern Shoshone. And the amount of Native women who individuals who went missing in 10 years was hundreds. And one gal went missing, and like the whole world went missing looking for her. And she was Gabby, blonde haired, blue eyed, mm-hmm. you know, gal. And not that we don't need to look for everybody, but why aren't they looking for us? Why isn't the media telling our story? And when the media does, it's often late. It's often around a narrative that's untrue. You know, they look at our maybe hard times in our life. And 20 years ago, we were an alcoholic, and I'm sure they went back to alcohol, or, you know, they went with mm-hmm. unsafe people. And so I had to make a very public statement that if for some reason I ever went missing, do not ever let my kids believe that it was a choice, because I would never choose to not come home to my kids. It's, you know, I work very, very hard, but at the end of the day, I always come home to my kids, and I never wanted the media or anybody to ever try to convince my kids that, you know, I chose to leave. And so I think more of us need to stand up for that. And I think we need to say that more often in more spaces, because if you listen to the narrative, often there's a misleading story behind it, and it dehumanizes us in a different way. And I don't like that. And I work really hard to try to create our epidemic in a way that is meaningful. And so, yeah. And I get a lot of feedback about that statement, actually, over the 4 years that I've been doing this work.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I would never leave you. And that, like, mm-hmm. I don't know if I blacked out after that, because it hit me. I'm an emotional person. And it was just like, oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when I read those stories, you know, I always think about the people that are left behind, and the people that are looking, mm-hmm. and the people who never give up and love them forever, that the narrative that it was a choice for us not to come home is just so far from the truth. And we're a very loving community, and we love our relatives. And I think we need to acknowledge that better.
Yeah, you mentioned this too, that segue into that, Two Feathers. And I always want to give Two Feathers a shout out too, because give out the information to our vast listening audience and people listening to us and watching us on Facebook and YouTube. And we're on X too. I just wanted to say that we're getting a lot of people watching us on that dreaded X, which we used to call whatever it was.
Formerly known as.
Yeah. Right. How can we get a hold of you with your work and talk a little bit about Two Feathers?
Yeah, it's fun because Haley and I were talking about this, I think, last week, or I don't even remember. You know, the path kind of back to like, who is just Heather? I think in the last couple of years, because the goal was never to be a state representative. I actually like, it feels so far from the norm of who I am. But it's a title that gets, you know, taken into consideration a lot in my life, and really trying to figure out like, who am I? Who is Heather again? And, you know, I worked in Indian country for 25 years before ever being elected in areas of education and healthcare, community engagement. I've been doing educational trainings for adults in those spaces, because often we know that the K-12 system does not educate us on the Indigenous history very well. Then we become adults and we make decisions in the world around education and healthcare, which are treaty rights that impact Indigenous people. And so I go out, and the main thing I do is I have a 1 hour or 3 hour keynote or workshop that's Indigenous 101, all the things you didn't know in K-12. And it really is a basic level overview of who we are as people, what the history is and some of our current issues are, and the reality of the timeline. I think often people assume these stories that we talk about, I'll use boarding schools as an example, is people think these are like 400, 500, 600, right. 700 years ago, you know, and the reality is like our uncles, our relatives, people are still alive who mm-hmm. Were forced in boarding schools. And so that's what I do. I love it. I love being a keynote speaker. I also do motivational speaking because, again, I think I've gone through a lot of pain in my life, as many Indigenous people have, to find a purpose to give back to my community. And so I speak about that in an empowering, emotional, and motivation.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is the 4th of July. We are off, but we do have a specially curated best of special for you tomorrow. I hope you'll join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.